Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello, Group Director from InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us for our webinar entitled Emerging Trends, Making Technology Work for Your Implant. And what we're going to be doing today is really sharing with you the latest in terms of emerging technologies and how the implant can leverage them to make a difference. And I'm delighted today to be joined by my colleagues, Lisa Cross, Associate Director at InfoTrends. And we'll be going back and forth in terms of sharing with you what we think the key areas of focus you should have are for your implant. But before we get started, what I would like to do is make sure that we've got a set of tips for helping you enjoy today's webinar. First and foremost, if you're having any technical difficulties, you can let us know by using the Q&A box or troubleshoot by clicking the help widget. If you have a question for us, and we'll be taking them throughout the webinar, merely submit it via the Q&A box. Make sure that you've disabled those pop-up blockers. And if you want to see what this console can do, click on the Tips for Attendee widget for a complete rundown. And now let's get started. You know, one of my favorite management consultants is Peter Drucker. And basically, Peter Drucker wrote a book titled The Effective Executive. And what he said was that there are two critical criteria in today's market if you're going to be an effective executive. The first is digital effectiveness, and that means making an impact. It means conducting the right activities and applying the best strategies for a competitive advantage. And the second component is digital efficiency, and that really means mastering your own domain, completing a process using the least resources and in the shortest possible amount of time. And in his book, he really highlights five critical strategies to help transform your business. And he said, first of all, you've got to carefully manage where and how you spend your time. You need to focus on results that need to be achieved. You need to build on your strengths. You need to concentrate on the few things that are going to produce the greatest results. And that means you've got to prioritize. And it's better to make just a few decisions, but they need to be the right fundamental decisions for your business. And finally, you've really got to focus on the right strategy versus razzle-dazzle tactics. Now, that being said, we've heard a lot in the market about people becoming marketing services providers and adding cross-media capability. And my message to you is a very simple one, and that is it can't be a revolution for your business. You really need to rationally evolve your business model. And so what we're going to be talking about is how companies are successfully evolving their implants. And what we're seeing in today's market is we'll just start by talking about what end users are looking for from you, and then we want to talk about critical ways that you can evolve your business. Sometimes it's as simple as a piece of paper and the substrate you use. People are looking at adding services like large format. They're web-enabling their businesses. They're adding variable data, cross-media, social media. We're also going to share some insight relative to what end users are looking for from you. And quite honestly, they want you to get in the game. And we'll wrap with some recommendations and conclusions. So let's talk about, first and foremost, what's important to buyers. We actually went out and surveyed more than 800 print buyers, and we asked them what was important when they looked at suppliers. And the key areas they were focused on are, first and foremost, a broad range of services and capabilities. And I don't care if you're a commercial printer or an implant printer, having a broad portfolio is important. They want you to be competitive, and you've got to be speedy. You've got to be able to handle their job with rapid turnaround. Now, when we look at the market today, we ask people, in addition to print, what has value to you? And what you're seeing in this slide is that it includes everything from mail and fulfillment to graphic design, email messaging. It responded to the survey also said that in 45% of the instances, it was important for you, the service provider, to offer integrated multi-channel marketing. The bottom of this slide really depicts what we see for the future of our industry, regardless, again, of whether you're an implant or a commercial printer. And it says that people want mobile marketing, multi-channel integrated marketing. They'd like you to help them with web hosting and web design. Now, that being said, what I mentioned to all of you is that it's an evolution and not a revolution. And you've got to start someplace. And we talk about getting started. What we're talking about is starting simply with digital print. And maybe it's large format. And then you can move up that value chain and add web enablement, variable data. Expand your services to incorporate email and personalized URL. Do some basic campaign management. Blend in mobile and social media. And then add integrated marketing to the overall mix. So I want to spend a few minutes sharing with you why all these things are important. And I would also tell you that you don't start at the top of that arrow. What you've got to do is look at what rational steps make sense for your implant. Now, the first thing that I tell everybody is it really does start with digital color printing. And, in fact, when you look at digital color and the growth rate, what we're seeing is that the retail value for digital color is going to grow at a 5.9% compound annual growth rate. Impressions are actually going to grow at double digits, close to 14%. And so the first investment that you need to focus on is something as simple as making sure you've got the right investment in terms of digital color and it's part of your asset portfolio. The second thing is something very simple, and that's specialty media. And I tell folks, when you think about it, a lot of the specialty media that's available today really helps differentiate what you're delivering to that end customer. I can use a lot of the specialty media substrates that are out there, and it delivers color, texture, feel. And in the world where mailboxes are filled with simple, plain paper, by delivering and using some of those specialty substrates, I, in fact, add intrigue to that mailbox. And by the way, I add that intrigue, and it's a lot more interesting than getting an email message. And so think about what's out there today. There's a number of innovative products available. There are things like coated paper, carbonless papers. There's synthetics that can be used in rough manufacturing environments that are never tear. There's custom solutions, whether it's magnets or folders or labels or all-in-one packaging or polyesters. And so sometimes differentiating your implant and adding value is as simple as the paper you use. Now, another key area that we find that's readily available if you've got a digital color device are some of the pre-die cut stocks. And what they'll let you do is actually generate cost-effectively dimensional mailers. Now, the Direct Marketing Association said that B2B dimensional mailers, those 3D things that have a package or something inside of them, have a response rate that's 98.8% higher than that of a flat envelope. And so I tell everybody, imagine the possibilities. These are just some of the examples of things that you can do with pre-die cut stocks to generate interesting packaging for any events that your company does, special gifts for clients. Covers the gamut. But what I tell folks is that one of the key things you can do is differentiate through substrates. If you're happening in one of those implants that's got sales or marketing type people, it's a way to get them inspired. You can create new value-added opportunities. It really stops your implant from being viewed as something that produces a commodity. It makes external competitors irrelevant. And, oh, by the way, if you've got a charge desk system, it can create some pretty high-margin opportunities. Now I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Lisa Cross, because another big opportunity is this whole concept of wide format. Lisa, take it away.
Yeah, wide format digital printing is an important growth market within the overall printing industry and for implant printing operations. Now, the chart that you're seeing here, over half of the respondents to a recent InfoTrends FESPA survey indicated that they plan to invest in wide format printing devices, and over a quarter said they were on the fence about that investment. Now, this chart represents all types of print providers, And I'm showing it because it indicates broad demand for wide format products and shows the bigger picture of firms adding digital wide format services to evolve their businesses. And wide format is a growth opportunity for the implant market. And let me give you an example. InfoTrends recently surveyed the readership of Implant Graphics magazine on the trends in wide format printing. And two-thirds of respondents reported that their wide format digital graphics print volume grew over the last 12 months, with an average increase of about 11%. These same implants expect their wide format business to expand over the next 12 months by about 9%. And to prepare for this growth, 23% reported that they had plans to either purchase or lease a new wide format printer in the next 12 months. Large format is really increasing in importance in terms of investment in the market and in terms of demand. And one of the reasons is that, you know, wide format has really become a key customer touch point for marketers of all sizes. And some of the key reasons for that is, you know, a large format has a great ability to build brand, a great ability to build recognition, and a great ability to build long-term awareness. It also is a great tool for supporting marketing efforts. And one of the things we're going to show you later in the presentation is how signage is becoming an integral part of the cross-media mix. Now, while a sign is effective on its own, you know, large format that includes elements that connect it to online, thus making it interactive, are really expanding the strength and power of the product. And one last thing on this is that, you know, in terms of a cost, from a cost per impression perspective, when you compare, you know, large format graphics to other forms of advertising, you know, such as radio, newspapers, television, direct mail, it's one of the most economical media in which to promote and reinforce a message. Now, sorry about that. In that survey of implant graphic readers that I just mentioned, you know, we asked which applications were regularly produced, and you're seeing the answer to that question in this chart. The top three applications were posters, banners, and signs, and all types of organizations have a need for these products, and we see these as the top three products across a lot of research studies we do at InfoTrends. And, you know, these types of products, they can be produced on various classes of devices. Large format printing really offers a solid opportunity for implant operations. And in challenging economic times, you know, marketers really understand that it's difficult for consumers it's really easy for consumers to miss advertisements in magazines and television and radio, but it's really hard to miss them in a sign, a banner, or a poster. And signage, you know, can really enable a company to stand head and shoulders above the rest. And if you're looking for the next best thing or next big thing to add to your service offering, you know, large format presents a natural market adjacency. The same digital assets that are used to produce a brochure or an email blast, they can be leveraged to create, you know, an attention-grabbing poster or attention-grabbing sign, banner, or display. So, you know, as you look for that next big opportunity, the pathway to increase profitability, you know, might be as simple as, you know, investing in the technology that enables you to create a sign, a vehicle wrap, a floor graphic, or a banner. You know, wide format graphics is a growth market, and InfoTrends tracks the retail value of digital wide format printing, and we're projecting growth at an annual compound growth rate of 7.9% and believe that the retail value of wide format printing work will surpass $20 billion by 2016. Digital wide format is growing, while many other print market segments are either flat or in decline. And here's an example of an implant that's offering wide format graphics. And we're starting to see more implants adding wide format services to evolve their operations. And this is an example from Brigham Young University, BYU, announced that it was expanding its breadth of capabilities and was adding large format services. And these large format services were a complement to the other services the implant offers, such as full digital color marketing materials, photo books, and family history books. Now, what's really interesting here is that when BYU initially invested in large format devices, they were using them to produce oversized book covers for their photo books and family history books. But they've since expanded their offering in wide format to include posters, banners, and signs. And, you know, these posters and banners and signs, that they're printing them in many standard sizes, and they're also printing on a number of substrates that include paper, vinyl, canvas, and polyester. So, you know, wide format is a service area that is growing and really important for implant operations to pursue in evolving their operations.
Hey, Lisa, we did get a question from the audience, and it's actually there were two questions that came in, and I'm going to just touch on them. And you may not have an answer to this. We may need to get back to the individual requesting it. But do you have any insight relative to how to establish the best pricing per square foot for large format?
I would have to get back to them on that.
Okay. And then we have another question. I'll quickly respond. You know, the question came in, are we planning to discuss in-house versus outsourcing? And the answer is, the focus of the webinar really is, and I say this, is that you need to look at offering these types of services if you don't want to be outsourced. And we're finding that these types of services are really the biggest differentiator in terms of how you differentiate your implant from an external provider. Now, one of the other key areas that we're seeing a lot of implants focused on is web to print. But they're really transforming web to print into what I categorize as marketing supply chain management. And what they've done is they've gone to the marketing department and they've said, hey, we'll help you control the marketing assets and how you're investing in marketing materials. And the logic behind that is very sound. We discovered, and what the CMO Council discovered when they did a study titled Optimized Marketing Supply Chain Survey, was that 78% of marketers have warehouses full of old materials. 84% send outdated materials. 33% have no way of managing inventory. And another 55% don't have access to real-time inventory. And so what they want to do is they really do want to take that and revert it to the world of on-demand. And we've just completed an enterprise study. And what buyers told us in large enterprises was that within the next 24 months, they plan on procuring 40% of their materials via the web. The implant needs to offer that service. And these were not business card stationery letterhead from Vistaprint. These were enterprises that employed 500-plus people. Now, we're starting to see a number of your peers in the industry really look at that as a service offering. And when we asked a number of implants who offer corporate-facing online print services, what volume was submitted via the web, they, in fact, told us that the average was 43%. And we're seeing them do very, very interesting things. As an example, Deb Pavletich at Briggs & Stratton offers their dealers ordering online and real-time for marketing materials, and they can customize those marketing materials based on their location. At Blue Cross Blue Shield of New York, what they've done is they created a website, and they do business cards for the entire organization. They developed online forms using Fusion Pro, and oh, by the way, they could add a QR code to the back of them. What they wound up doing was saving 25% of a purchasing headcount, and they realized that through their web portal, they could deliver in 3 days or less. During the first 4 months of operation, they delivered more than 61,000 business cards. So pretty powerful in terms of offering that capability via the implant. And now what I'm going to do is turn it back to Lisa to give you a little bit of a perspective on what we're seeing relative to personalization.
Yep. Personalizing printing materials through variable data is really another key area for evolving your business and elevating your relevance in your organization. Now, you're probably thinking, well, variable data, that isn't new, and it isn't. But customer demand for it and use of it is increasing. And what you're seeing here is a pie chart from a recent InfoTrend study where we surveyed marketers and communication decision makers in the enterprise market. And by enterprise, we mean organizations with 500 or more employees. And these are typically organizations within plant operations. We asked about targeting approaches for communication and marketing campaigns, and 63% of those campaigns that enterprises reported were customized to recipients. So the demand for personalization is growing. At the same time, in the same study, we asked, you know, how often print communication involved personalization or variable imaging across various levels of personalization. And we found that use of high, medium, and complex variable data printing was greater than print without any variable images or text. And if you add this chart to the prior chart, the takeaway is that enterprise firms are demanding more customized approaches to communicate with customers, and they're including print in that mix and using sophisticated variable data to reach customers. So the use of, you know, print is increasing, and so is the use of variable data printing. Sorry, I'm having trouble with my pusher here. Now, in our survey of implant graphic readers, we found that, you know, over half of respondents offered VDP, and 34% of those offered it for more than 24 months. So the technology for executing, you know, VDP applications is firmly entrenched in many implant organizations, but now demand is increasing. Now I want to share with you some really cool examples of variable data. And these are examples in the education market. And in this example, this is a piece produced by Sacred Heart. They're a small, mid-sized college in Fairfield, Connecticut. And Sacred Heart is introducing itself to Margaret, a prospective student. Margaret's getting, you know, many recruitment materials from colleges, but most of them are in envelopes and not very compelling and really don't speak directly to Margaret. Now, anyone who's participating in this webinar today that has a child or a family member who's deciding on colleges or now in college, you know, probably has or remembers the stack of college materials and the many that weren't opened. This example got noticed, and this is a great example of a VDP application in the education market, because when you look at this postcard, well, first of all, it's a postcard format, so it has this immediate impact. It's easy to read. It has great colors and an attractive front. What you can't see is the flip side or the back side, which had a personalized URL, and it had a QR code also on the back. So, you know, the piece was linked to online. But the key thing here was that, you know, this piece was personalized to Margaret and spoke to the interests of Margaret. Now, this piece has a tagline on it that's inspiring minds, unleashing hearts. And for implants, you know, looking to add VDP or expand their offering to it, I'd rewrite that headline to, you know, inspiring print, unleashing opportunity, because VDP can produce inspiring print and unleash opportunity. But here's another really great example, and this one is from RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology. And, you know, they also have a top print and media school. And this particular project was designed by RIT students. And this piece includes many personalized elements. There's a road sign, And that road sign is personalized to Margaret because Margaret lives in Norwell, Massachusetts, which is 353 miles from RIT. Her name is on the license plate. And there are also social media links that are included, you know, on the back of the postcard. So both of these examples are excellent examples of a VDP application in the education markets, and many higher education institutions have in-plant operations. But, you know, no matter what market your in-plant operation serves, you know, VDP is a technology you can make work for you and evolve your business. Now, the next piece of the puzzle on VDP. I'm sorry, hold on. This is, okay. The next piece of the puzzle in VDP is customer demand. Another, what I'm showing you here is some recent research that kind of speaks to that the customer or consumer demand for our VDP is increasing. So InfoTrends recently completed a survey of consumers to find out, you know, their behaviors and attitudes toward printed transactional type material. And the 1,662 consumers that responded offered the top three pieces of advice for businesses and organizations on the communications they mailed. And their advice was this: make communications easy to understand, personalize content, and use color to emphasize important information. VDP may not be new, but its time has arrived. Enterprises are expanding its use, and consumers want communications to be more customized to them. And many of you have the technology in place to fulfill this new demand for communicating one-to-one in print and making your technology investments work for you. Another important area for evolving your operation is offering cross-media marketing services. Now, innovations in technology, you know, have really changed the way people consume information and interact with those around them. And you know, we all know this. And for all of us in the printing industry, you know, the implications of the term, you know, new media have really been, you know, all over that threat opportunity spectrum. You know, but in the last few years, a lot of technologies, you know, have emerged to really leverage that strength of combining print and digital media. And the chart that you're seeing here is from the enterprise study that Barb and I have referenced. And why I'm showing it is because, you know, that ability and power of leveraging print and other channels is really taking hold, you know, in the enterprise market. What we found when we asked respondents how many media types they're using on average in a typical communication campaign, you know, that average was 3. And that average was 3 across the 10 industries that we studied in this particular research study. This is a vertical market study, and we looked at, you know, 10 different, very different and unique industries, and across all of them, that average was 3. And enterprise communication firms, I mean, they are communicating across channel, and a really a growing part of that effort includes print, includes making print interactive. Firms reported linking print to digital channels reported that 47% of their printed marketing materials were linked to digital channels in the past 12 months. This chart here, this is from the same study, and the reason I show this is because I always want to make the point that even though organizations are communicating across channel, they're not forgetting about the print. Print is still playing today and will continue to play a really solid role in the marketing mix, and that's what you're seeing in this chart. If you look to the red or maroonish bar at the bottom, that's the component of enterprises' marketing budgets that's going to print. And it's about 30%, or it accounted for, 34% in the last year. And it's going to decline in the next year or next 2 years to 30%, but that's still strong. It represents the largest share today, and it's expected to command the largest share in 2 years. Where are you going to see some growth is mobile, and we're going to talk about that today. Mobile is the fast and growing channel, and that's the dark purple bar at the top. And online and web, you know, is the second fastest growing. But the key point here is that, you know, while other media channels, you know, are expanding, you know, print is still a solid, viable component of the mix. However, a lot of implant organizations, you know, aren't really adding cross-media services into their mix. Now, this chart is from our survey of implant graphic readers, and what we found when we asked, does your organization, you know, offer cross-media marketing services, only 18% indicated offering those services. 19% plan to offer those services in the next 24 months, but 42%, you know, had no plans to offer these services at all. So not a lot of implants are offering cross-media, and this is something that, you know, we've seen in results from similar studies that we've conducted at InfoTrends. And here's the reasons they tell us that they're not offering cross-media. They're not offering it. That this top reason, which was the most dominant reason here, was they're not offering it because it doesn't fit their business model. So there's the thinking, they're reporting that it's not fitting their business model, yet parent organizations are reporting that they are communicating across channels. So there's really an opportunity here for firms that aren't offering these types of services to really change their business models and begin to offer cross-media types of services. And the top reasons that organizations are blending media channels are really to expand their audience reach and drive response rates in action. And here's a look. Sorry, I'm having a hard time getting my mouth to work today. And here's a look at the reasons that firms, you know, are I showed the wrong slide. Let me just go back. Sorry, guys. I'm being technology challenged here. I wanted to show you here just the channels that marketers, you know, the print channels that marketers are linking to online. And some of those top channels, print products and applications that are being linked to digital media include brochures, direct mail, and bills and statements. And now I'm going to try to give it back to you, Barb.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Lisa. And what we've got is when you start looking at technology today, InfoTrends really believes that there are going to be two things left standing. One of them is a physical piece of paper, and the other is a mobile device. And the winner in the market is going to be those companies that make those two things work well together. And that's everybody. Look at your children or your grandchildren. What you'll see is that in their world, they don't know anything but mobile technology. And in fact, I tell everybody I have three grandchildren. If I send something to them in the mail, it gets opened instantly because it's around their birthday or Christmas, and they know the envelope has money in it. If I send them an email, they would never dream of opening it because they don't use email. But if I send my granddaughter, who's 16, a text, I'll hear back in 30 seconds. And so what we're seeing is that people, to reach that audience, really do need to blend print and mobile. And what it does is it adds interactivity to a static piece of paper. It extends the value of that piece of paper and makes it very interactive. And, oh, by the way, it's incredibly measurable. And what we're really seeing in today's market are different mutations of mobile technology blended with print. The first is a quick response code. The second is people using text. The third is what we call near-field communication, which is a little newer. And the last is augmented reality. Let me spend just a minute on each of these. When you take a look at mobile barcode, we tested the consumer side of the market to understand the awareness in the marketplace. We tested them in 2011 and then again in 2013. The difference, and you'll see the bars on the left here, 85 and 88% more awareness. Not a big increase in awareness, but, oh, by the way, usage of mobile barcodes has almost doubled. And what they're doing is they're using those barcodes, whether it's at Best Buy or it's on a bill or a statement, to get additional information, take advantage of a coupon, to test the code. So huge increase in awareness in the consumer population. Let's take an example of interesting application. There's an organization called StopAFib.org, and it's a nonprofit that helps educate patients who've been diagnosed with atrial fibrillation. What they've done is they've provided codes on business cards for in cardiac care units so that people can easily access information about whatever the specific disease is that they have. Another great example, probably one of my favorites, is Peapod. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with Peapod, but they're a delivery service for groceries. And what they've done is in the train stations in Chicago, Philadelphia, and a number of other major metro areas, they put in large format printed signage. They've got a number of regular items that people run out of. I can be standing waiting for my train and order milk, bread, eggs, cheese, and have it delivered to my home such that when I get home that night, it's ready to go. Now, there's another key technology that's taking hold. And I'm going to turn over to Lisa to talk a little bit about near-field communications. Lisa.
Thanks, Barb. Now, near-field communication is a technology that many of you may not be aware of. It's a technology for connecting print to digital. And we call it NFC for short. And NFC enables smartphones or tablets that are NFC-enabled to establish a radio connection with a printed piece that's embedded with a short-range transmitter. So how it works is that, you know, people can either touch their NFC-enabled phones or hold them within close proximity of the NFC transmitter. A connection is established, and it's a seamless connection, and your mobile device will be, you know, taken. Sorry, I'm choking here. Will be taken to a digital media channel where you can either show a video or show some other type of information extension. And you might be familiar with NFC if you ever did tap and pay, because NFC was originally developed and promoted as a secure technology to enable mobile payments and ticketing, where, you know, consumers would make payments by tapping their device against an NFC-enabled payment terminal. How it works is, the printed materials have some type of chip either embedded in the print or affixed in a sticker. And what's really great about NFC is that it enables this, you know, seamless connection between print and the digital world. And we're going to show you some cool examples in a minute, but, you know, the key thing here is that it enables, you know, offline to online engagement. It's relatively easy to do on like a QR code. You don't need to download an app to read the barcode. And there's 1 billion NFC-enabled phones that are expected to be in the market by 2015. So, you know, a lot of consumers are out there, you know, with the technology to be able to read the signals from an NFC transmitter. And I want to tell you, Canon Solutions America and InfoTrends did an in-depth webinar on NFC technology that if you want to learn more about it, you know, you can go over to the Printing Impressions site and click on the webinar tab and you could sign up for it and you could, you know, learn a lot more about NFC technology than we're able to discuss in today's presentation. And like I said, you know, one of the ways you can do NFC is you can purchase stickers and then affix the stickers to the print. And there are a number of places out there that you can find online. You can just Google purchasing NFC stickers, and you'll get a bunch of resources, and you can buy the stickers, and their prices range from a couple of cents on up. Now, this example that I'm going to show you, this is actually really, really cool and really brings home, the power of a print connected to an NFC application. Now, what you're seeing here is that, Rapid NFC, they're a supplier of NFC tags, and they're based in Europe. And they partnered with London-based Freestyle Printing to offer these customized NFC-enabled Christmas cards and postcards. What Freestyle Print did was they developed a lamination process that enables, NFC that let Freestyle, include their tags in this, type of print product. And they're also doing the print end of these cards and postcards. And what I like about the Christmas card, and just to give you an example of how you can use NFC in a print application, is that if you you can program the tag to direct a user's mobile device to access a video or to go to a company website or a special promotion. So in the Christmas card example, if you wanted to, you could create, your own Christmas video, maybe, or you can share, Christmas music, or a company can use it, to promote something on their website. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can do. And when I see an example of this, I see more opportunity for how NFC is, really can start to play out in the printing marketplace, because you're starting to see these partnerships emerge where a tag manufacturer is partnering with a print service provider, and they're handling the tag and the technology side of it, and the print service provider is handling the things that they do well, the printing and mailing and distribution of these print products that include an interactive element.
And the next major technology that we're seeing a lot of action around is augmented reality. And what we see is that companies like Google and Apple are gobbling up patents in this space like crazy. Now, I'm going to spend just a second to describe what augmented reality is. What it is I can use a tool, and there are a number of software tools. Mateo is one. Total Immersion is another. Layer is yet another. And I can actually embed markers in a printed piece. By the way, that printed piece can be generated on digital or offset printed technology. And when I point a cell phone at it, it causes those markers to get active, and the imagery can, in fact, pop to life. And so what we're seeing is we did the same test and looked at familiarity with and without examples. And so there's a reasonable familiarity with examples. But we're also seeing a jump in the usage of augmented reality. And I tell folks, North American Publishing Company has done, most recently, their Target Market magazine, and they actually used augmented reality in it so they could show how people can blend mobile technology with a printed magazine. But people are using it for fun and entertainment, gaming, to find locations, additional information. I wanted to give you a couple of examples that are, in fact, my favorite. If you get an IKEA catalog this Christmas, what happens is they've embedded markers in the catalog pages. And so what happens is if I point my cell phone at, let's say, a sofa, it will pop to life in three dimensions. I can actually overlay that sofa into my physical room to see how it's going to fit with my other pieces of furniture. One of my other favorite examples, and you can look it up on the Internet, is an application called Color. C-O-L-A-R, and I happen to have grandchildren that like to do exactly that, color. Well, what happens is you can log onto the website and actually print out a coloring book page on your HP printer at home or whatever printer you happen to be using at home. A little boy or girl can color it in, and then you can point your cell phone at it and watch the image that they just colored take off. Very, very powerful. So I had my grandson in Mexico, and we downloaded pictures of hot air balloons, airplanes, and when he got done coloring them, we showed them with the cell phone how his airplane could take off, all done with augmented reality. Now, the other big thing you're hearing a lot about is social media. And so people say, geez, Barb, where does social media fit with print? And my message is, it's a 1+1=3 type relationship. And they say, well, what do you mean? And so the big thing that's happening in today's market is there's a number of tools out there called, like Ducky, Social Proof, Amplifinity, Urefer. They're all cloud-based solutions. And what they're designed to do is drive referrals. And so you could get a specific promotion in a direct mail piece. You could link on to a URL, and then you could refer it to your friends and your acquaintances on LinkedIn or Facebook. And let me give you a couple of examples of how this works. This happens to be a PODI case study. It was done for Chick-fil-A. And what Chick-fil-A did is they actually sent out 5,048 direct mail pieces. And what happened is they had a URL where you could go and claim your coupon for a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. Now, if you referred that coupon to friends, you got entered into a drawing for free Chick-fil-A sandwiches for a full year. I tell everybody, I don't know what you would look like having a year's worth of free Chick-fil-A sandwiches, but you got entered into the drawing. Well, the message inside of that was that that direct mail piece, where they mailed out 5,048 postcards, garnered a 279% response rate. In other words, people referred friends such that the Chick-fil-A could build a great database of prospects and customers by getting people to refer their friends. And we're seeing this not just in the realm of consumer products that are low-end, but it cuts across the gamut. My favorite example is Kimberly-Clark did a promo for Huggies diapers. And what they said is you'll get $1.50 off with this direct mail or email coupon on your Huggies. But if you refer us to three friends, you'll get $3 off. Why? Well, guess what? Moms that are buying Huggies typically have other moms in playgroups that they're taking their kids to. And, oh, by the way, great opportunity. And they're using a tool set called Social Twist. Coke is doing it. And what they're doing is they're saying, hey, you know, refer a friend, and here's a coupon that you can do that with, and you'll get a discount on your next purchase of Coke Zero. So it cuts across the gamut. But the big message inside of all of this is if I'm an implant today, I need to figure out how to add value to print. Sometimes it's adding large format and letting people get their messages out in a big way. In other instances, it's the right substrate, or it's getting into the realm of cross-media. But I think the big message inside of all this is if you're an implant, more media channels typically will yield better results. By the way, it doesn't need to analysis to be crafty. It might be I've got a large format sign and I've got a direct mail piece, and I'm going to make them work together. But you really need to take a look at it and say, I want those improved results for my organization. If I use more channels than print, not only do I get a better response rate, but most importantly, I get a better conversion rate. And conversion rates track directly to bottom line profitability. And so what we're seeing is that your customers expect you to get in the game. So, Lisa, I'm going to let you wrap here in terms of what people are expecting and provide recommendations and conclusions to the audience.
Thanks, Barb. Yeah, like Barb said, what we're seeing is that enterprises and your parent organizations, you know, they expect you to get in the game and offer a lot of these new and not so new value-added types of services. And, you know, what we found in our research that kind of backs this is from InfoTrend's study of the enterprise market, you know, which we've referenced a number of times today. And we asked respondents, you know, how often they used a print services vendor for their multi-channel integrated marketing. And what we found that, you know, 88% of marketers and communication decision makers used a print provider for multi-channel integrated marketing. And multi-channel integrated marketing includes, you know, all of the topic areas that we address today. And of those 88 respondents, over half of those said that they, you know, either always or often used a print service provider. So enterprises are turning to print providers for all of these services. And I remember when I first saw this slide, you know, this was a little bit, you know, surprising because we didn't expect that, you know, we'd been talking about, you know, print providers and implants offering these types of services for some time and how valuable they were. But when I saw this slide, this was a validating point that, you know, organizations and large enterprises are, you know, reaching out to providers of printing services for all of these additional types of services. Now, this is another slide from that study. There we go. And what this one says is that, you know, implant operations, they really have an edge in offering the types of services that we talked about today, because what we found in our research when we asked, you know, who do you typically purchase these types of services from, you know, internal departments, you know, were key providers of multi-channel integrated marketing. And, you know, when we asked enterprises, you know, who they typically purchase services from, you know, that 20% that said they were produced internally, you know, that was quite high. And when you look at the other, you know, providers that was the other two top providers, that was really close. You know, the top providers that were offering these services, you know, were specialized agencies or multi-purpose agencies. But, you know, that internal resource for offering these services really, you know, wasn't that far behind. Okay, so now I'm going to just wrap up with some recommendations and conclusions, and then we'll take some questions. There we go. Now, historically, now this is InfoTrend's strategic path chart. And when we look at it, you know, historically, market leaders in our industry focused on operational excellence. But that's really not enough today. It's still important to focus on improving operational efficiency and to offer customers the best quality and services, and it's still important to continually invest in technology and business processes and sales and marketing efforts. But it's that new component or dimension that is really, you know, differentiating who the leaders are. And that competitive dimension is innovation. You know, market leaders have to expand their focus to include innovations that address new services, new products, new customer demands, and new business models. And, you know, today, you know, Barb and I address a number of issues that can help, you know, your organizations move or strengthen your position in that innovator space. Now, we did talk about many topics today, and what you need to do is you need to identify, you know, where you are on the opportunity spectrum and really make sure that the services you are offering, that first of all, you are efficiently delivering those services, and second, that you're being, you know, innovative in how you deliver those services. So you need to start with, you know, where you are today. And then from there, you need to decide, you know, where you want to be on the spectrum and how are you going to get there. And in terms of how you're going to get there, you You know, I'm going to turn to lessons from Peter Drucker to offer some insight on how you can reach, you know, your strategic path destination. So I'm going to wrap up, you know, where Barb started with thoughts and ideas from Peter Drucker. And these are lessons that you can apply to mapping out your strategic path. You really need to, you know, carefully manage where and how you spend your time. And to do that, you need to focus on those results that you want to achieve. And the results that you want to achieve, well, you should build them on your current strengths. Next, you really need to concentrate on the few things that will produce the greatest results. And that means prioritize, because a lot of times, you know, what we see in InfoTrends is a lot of companies, you know, will want to, you know, add new services, and they don't have a practical approach or a prioritized approach. They just want to offer everything at once, and you really, you know, need to step back and figure out what you want to achieve. And that might sound simple, but it doesn't always happen, because, you know, we deal with customers all the time that don't even know that basic, you know, what is your end game? What are you trying to achieve? So when trying to evolve your business, these are all things that are critically important. You need to figure out, you know, where you're going, why you want to get there, what strengths do you have currently now to get there, and prioritize those items. And on the last two points, from Peter Drucker, and, you know, I agree with this 100%, and, you know, Peter Drucker is also one of my favorite management consultants, is that it's really better to make fewer decisions, but you really need to make the right fundamental decisions. And when you're focusing on strategy, and I think Barb kicked off the presentation by mentioning this, when you're focusing on the right strategy to evolve your business, you really need to make the best use of your technology. You need to focus your strategies or define those right strategies based on your ability to make the best use of your technology and not focus on just, you know, razzle-dazzle tactics. Let's do this because it's cool. Now I'm going to just see if there's any questions, because we're almost at the top of the hour. But before I go to the question box, there was somebody earlier who had asked the questions about first step for getting into variable data printing, and I would just like to ask that person to send your email address into the chat window or email me directly, because, you know, I that answer is too long, but I do have something that I can send to you, and I would be happy to share. So just give me one second. I'm having a lot of technical difficulties today in getting my let's see if there's any other questions in here. Nope. I don't see any other questions. So I just want to thank you all on behalf of Implant Graphics Magazine and Canon's Solutions America for attending today's webinar. Please be sure to check out our webinar page to get more information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. And if you could just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your next screen, we'd be really grateful, because your feedback will influence the webinars that we bring to you in the future. So thanks for taking the time today, and everybody have a wonderful day.